It's an honor to be here on what you might call a regular Sunday morning, which is not regular at all, the Feast of the Presentation, as well as the interment of the ashes of Hilda Gregory. So it's this interesting moment here with its mixture of ideas of darkness and light, life and death and hope, and it's very much what this festival occasion is about. I will not mention the Super Bowl, so I won't. First, a story. A woman rancher tells the story of one of her cows giving birth to her first calf. As cows do, she had wandered apart from the rest of the herd to a private and more protected place to give birth to her calf. Noticing that the cow was not among the others, the woman rancher began searching for her, finally locating her behind a clump of trees at the edge of the pasture. By the time she had found the cow was in hard labor. How would she fare the first time around, the woman rancher wondered to herself. Would she make it through the birth easily, because sometimes they don't? Would she bond with her new calf in a way that supported that calf's survival? Within an hour, the baby calf's front legs appeared, followed by its head. Then all at once, out came the hips and the back legs, and a new male calf was born. Soon, the mother began licking her calf, calling out to it in a low moo, encouraging it to get on its feet and find its way back to her for its all-important first meal, all of which the calf did as the woman rancher looked on. But then something unexpected happened. After feeding her calf for a time, the cow stepped back, turned toward the woman rancher, and nudged her calf forward. She nudged him forward and stepped back as if to present him to this human being and say, "Here he is. Here is an entirely new creature come to earth through me. Here he is for you to see, for you to admire, for you to marvel at." I love this story because it fits for me with what we're experiencing in nature right now in our surprisingly early coming of spring. You've noticed it. Nature herself, it seems, is daily presenting some dimension of herself to us as if to say, "Here I am again. Here is a bit of beauty come to earth for you to see, to admire, even to marvel at." And so on my walks through the West End, I live right on the kind of edge of downtown in the West End, nature presents herself to me in small but breathtaking snowdrops, low against the black soaked earth, as if to say, "Here I am again. Here I am in these little white flecks of beauty come to earth for you. Here I am for you to see, to admire, and to marvel at." The same thing will be true later in the spring, because I was here that time of year last year, as nature will present to all of us full branches of blossoms tossed by the rough breezes of spring above our heads and around us as we walk. "Here I am," she will say again more forcefully, "here I am with heavy branches of beauty come to earth for you. Here I am for you to see, to admire, and to marvel at." So it's really a wonderful time when the light is beginning to come back and we see the response in the ground. But of course, these tokens, these images of beauty and new life, are not the only things we are being presented with this season and even this last weekend. We, for instance, in the last 2 weeks have been presented with images of those weeping at the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, weeping as they remembered their own and others' horrific experiences, and as they told us that we should always remember what happened there. We are presented with the images of yet one more captive, a Japanese man, waiting to be brutally killed by ISIS. And I was hoping to say that part and not the second this morning, until I got on the news, of course, yesterday and found out it had happened. A man with a family, with a mother, with a wife, with children. In and around all of this, we continue to be presented with images of conflict and strife that seems to have no easy resolution. I'm not just talking about in foreign lands, and with images of wars that seem to have no end. Nature and new life, the darkness. And so if you're like me, you're more than a little confused, if you were honest with yourself, and worried about which of these many sort of presentations of life tell us what is real and true and reliable. Today we're celebrating the feast of another presentation, the presentation of Christ in the temple. This feast finds its origin in a story in the Gospel of Luke, in which Mary and Joseph, as new parents, are doing what any other Jewish parents would do and would need to do 40 days after the birth of their son, because this is all laid out in the Jewish law. They are going to the temple to make a sacrifice in order to assure that Mary, as a new mother, who by fact of giving birth is sort of outside the community of faith, sad to say, but that as a new mother, she can return to her life, her regular life, as a part of the religious community. And they're also going to the temple to dedicate their firstborn son to the service of God, because that is also laid out in the law. What is important, but not unique in Luke's account here, is that Mary and Joseph, as they're described, are specifically depicted as poor. We know this because the sacrifice they bring is not the lamb that a more affluent couple would be bringing, but a pair of turtle doves or a pair of young pigeons. That is the kind of sacrifice that a poorer couple would be able to afford and would be able to bring. It is within this context, the story of a poor Jewish family simply doing what needed to be done to fulfill the requirements of the law, that something unexpected happens. No, it's not like my first story, is it? Mary herself doesn't take her son and hold him up in the middle of everyone as if to say, here he is, my son, the Holy One of God, here he is for you to admire. Far from it, because she's surprised and Joseph is surprised at what happens next. Rather, an old man named Simeon, and a little later, an old woman named Anna, people who have been waiting and hoping for what Luke calls the consolation of Israel, that is the comfort and kind of liberation of a marginalized and powerless Jewish people. An old man named Simeon takes the child out of Mary's arms, holds him in his embrace, and tells us all who this child is, because we're listening in on this scene. An old man named Simeon presents to us and to Mary and Joseph what God, the significance of what God has done. Here he is, Simeon says, the Holy One of God who comes as comfort to the sorrowful, as salvation and liberation to those in bondage, and as light to those of us who are in darkness. And then Anna will do it too, and will tell anyone who will listen to the same reality. And so while God is perhaps always presenting God's self to us as the extraordinary that is hidden in the ordinary, right in front of our eyes, like those little snowdrops or like those blossoms, while God is always doing that to us, God, in this presentation, is showing up as more than just extraordinary, as more than just something that kind of gives us a sense of wonder. God, in this story, is being presented to us as the one who comes to comfort the downhearted, to save and liberate those in bondage, and to bring light into the darkness that we rightfully fear these days, a darkness we might suspect might overwhelm us and the world. And this is such a Lucan, it's the same message Luke is always giving. He's the one about the liberation from bondage, light in the darkness. And furthermore, what this story seems to be telling us, and I love this part, is that it takes one schooled in waiting and watching. It takes one who is longing and in need of comfort. It takes one who yearns for liberation and light to recognize what is being presented to all of us here and to take that very one up into his arms. So this is good news for those who are old and have been waiting. It takes one who has been waiting and yearning a long time. And so while many of us think of waiting and longing as things we would rather not do, as full of frustration and the potential for disappointment, in this story at least, this very waiting and longing is the energy that fuels the reception and the full presentation of God's new and fresh liberating action in a world that has grown old and dark with waiting. And so it is good to wait and watch for the birth of a calf, as frightening as it may be to do so. It is good to walk and look for the signs of spring under our feet and above and around our heads. It is good still to be horrified by what we as human beings have done to each other and what we are still capable of doing, and I'm not letting us out of that either. It's good to understand the complexity of what we see playing out before us. And out of this, it is good to long for a fulfillment that we have not as yet tasted, for a liberation we sometimes believe will never come, for a light we can still have a hard time believing in. It is good to strain towards the things that God longs for through us, because that's where I believe it's going on. God is longing for it through us. It is good. For without this longing, without the ache and hope that must accompany it, we will not be able to see or embrace the Holy One of God when he comes to us as he always does, clothed in the humble, the poor, the ordinary, and the real. And that is the point of this story. And we will not be able to present him to a world that might easily miss him, but continues to be desperately in need of him. And so, questions for you and for me this morning. Where is something small, something humble, even poor, being held out to you to embrace? Something that will comfort you, that has the power to comfort you, that may free you, that can bring you light in what is still a season of darkness. In what way are you being asked or even urged, nudged, to take this thing in your arms and in doing so to hold it for all the world to see? And then, because this is a community I am a part of and am speaking to, where in this cathedral community is something small, something humble, something we might not think, something we think of as no count, being offered to this community as comfort, as liberation and light? And I wonder if what we're going to be talking about, some of us later today, might be that thing, something you might dread as being out of this space. Where is that being offered to you as comfort, liberation, and light? What might it look like for all of us to take this something in our arms and to declare aloud the gift that it is to us? And so this morning, everyone, on Candlemas, on the Feast of the Presentation, no matter what age you are, be Simeon, be Anna. Be those whose waiting and longing and aching prepares the way for the presentation of the Holy One in and to the world. Be hungry, be hopeful, be watchful. For look, here he is, coming to us in the place we did not expect him, humble and lowly in the arms of his peasant mother. Here he is, for us to hold to ourselves and then lift up to a world who has waited and hoped and longed for his coming. Here he is, for all to see, for all to admire, for all to marvel at, for all to adore.